Welcome to Bed Knobs and Broomflakes, the podcast that talks about witches, man-witches, warlocks, sorcerers, and other magic practitioners in movies, television, comic books, books, and, well, obviously just about everything. We also talk about heroic and just plain awesome animals as our favorite familiars, and I promise I am getting back to that soon. I already have somebody in mind. I'm just, I gotta do the research and, you know, do the actual work. Lies! deception indicated. But we also sometimes talk about witches in history. Normally I'd say this show will include spoilers. You've been warned. But if you have not read the final book in the Kingdom of Ash series, then, if you do intend on reading it soon, then don't listen, obviously.
I would say that considering you're into part two or, part two of the first half of the book and you didn't go back to the first one or something, I think there's a weird... Please go back, listen to a different episode if you're brand new. This will not be the one to start out with.
But y'all been warned.
Yes.
Yeah. And, if you have read the rest of the series and you don't plan on reading the final book in the series, I got you, because it's a long fucking book, man. It's fucking long. I'm a slow ass reader. And I gotta tell you, through the first part, it was kind of difficult.
Through certain character sections, it was kind of difficult. But I think you should tell everybody who you are first before we get really into this.
Maybe. I suppose I'll do that. Whatever. My name is Linda, but. This week, well, as always, you could call me the cheese, and this week, I'm a crotch cheese. I'm a crotchin.
I thought it was crochin. I was reading it as crochin this entire time. Are you seriously reading it as crotchin?
I am now. I'm a crochin cheese. Crotch and cheese.
You know, mine doesn't seem as cool anymore now. I was thinking this is I don't know. I was going to say, my name is Jane, and I am a character you forgot about a long time ago who suddenly has made a reappearance. Yeah. I had questions about this character in particular, but you know what? We get answers. No,
Jane has questions.
Jane has opinions. The questions have been answered.
That's going to be like a new segment now.
What, Jane has opinions? I always assumed it was basically part of the
Jane
show.
Jane has opinions. Oh, boy. So, yes, we are continuing our series for the Throne of Glass series, and we are in the second part. The second part of our series on Kingdom of Ash. It is still going to cover the first part of the book. As you who are familiar with the book know, there's so goddamn much to cover.
Yeah, and it was easier to break it down this way because if we tried to, the recap we did last time was just to cover two major character sections within the first half. And now we're going to go on to the other two for the first half because trying to carry it on in order would have left me in a corner, crying to myself because I'd be all over the place. And this happened. We have to go back. This is what, that would be me. And by the way, I was trying to look up to see if there's a better, how exactly Crochan is pronounced, and nobody's saying it. So I'm just going to go with my pronunciation.
Oh, you know what? I actually found it from the source. Sarah J. Maas says it's, oh my God. I thought about this before and I thought, no, there's
Crockin.
No way. There's
I just found
yes.
it.
Yes.
Crockin.
Said fast.
Crockin said fast. Yeah, now I see it on Twitter. It's sort of like hoser. Yeah. It's like, you really want to be hussar or something, or hussar.
Yes.
And it's like hoser. It's like, Miss Moss, can we talk?
Or Irene.
Yeah,
and
Irene.
You want that to be Irene, but it's, yeah, urine, like urine.
Yeah, I almost want to write to her and say, like, I'm afraid to ask what your children's names are right now. And I'm not exactly
one
to talk.
This one's called chlamydia.
I did give my child a very unique name, but at the same time, all I'm thinking is, I didn't give him a name that sounded like a body part or a body function.
I love his name,
though. I know you love his name. A lot of people, when they figure it out, love his name.
It's pronounced chlamydia.
I was gonna say it's pronounced Janerson.
It's pronounced gonorrhea. Oh boy. So
last time we covered Rowan, Aelin, Elide, Gavriel, Lorcan, and we also covered Kaol. I almost wanted to do like the Matt Damon voice, like Kaol.
Yes, that's what I was thinking too. But I was kind of mixing him with Hodor.
Kaol. And Urine. I really feel like I have to hit certain letters there to not make it sound. Yeah, exactly how we all think.
Urine.
And Nesrin and Sartak and all those people. So we covered them. So now we're moving into Manon, Doran.
The other ones.
And the rest, as they said in Gilligan's Island before they updated it.
And these people we don't care about.
And the rest.
That used to be my jam, man. Like, I freaking loved staying home sick and watching old reruns of Gilligan's Island with my dad and Beverly Hillbillies. That was good times.
You see, I watched a lot of Price is Right. So.
That too. God, yes.
And we're also covering Adia and Lysandra today.
Yeah.
But we're going to start out with Manon and Dorian. Because Manon and Dorian are traveling together. Kissy, kissy. Anyways. Yes.
Yeah, I kind of hate myself a little bit.
Yeah, I was like, can we just write, just kind of like wash over that one? We don't need to know about this. Because, I mean, it's... So these are the parts, because as you said, like, and if you can hear my cats running around in the background, I'm sorry, but that's just...
Yay!
They're in spastic mode right now. So...
Go, kitty cat!
Oh. they've been fun lately. So this, I think that, as you said, like, the, you know, this is a tome. I think that the book itself, I think that my issue is that there sometimes, I think we mentioned this last time, was there are parts where they're more interesting than others. Manon and Dorian are definitely the ones where it's like when they ended and it went back to Aelin being tortured or talking about Leeds period or something like that. It was just sort of like, would you guys please get back to this story?
I got you some period strips.
I just imagine, by the way, like from the last conversation with Lorcan be like making all of those, like, you know, strips for her. Like, at some point, she has to notice that, like, his shirt's just shredded. He's just walking around like
he's wearing a midriff top. I know.
Yeah, but it's like all like cut up and stuff. Like, he's like some washed ashore, like from like a shipwreck and stuff. Or like, oh god, do you remember the fringe tops from like high school and college days? Like, that was like a huge deal where it'd be like a bikini top with like a fringe. That's what it makes me think of.
He's like, what? I'm a trendsetter, baby. He's got little beads hanging from the strips.
They make noise as he walks. maybe that was the only time we were really entertained with this.
He doesn't sneak up very well anymore.
It's like putting seven bells on a cat.
Oh, he's trying to sneak up to somebody to assassinate them. Huh? Oh, I would also like to think that he's got those like the beads in his hair too, because like if Lorcan's gonna go out with the beads, he's gonna go all out, you know.
Oh yeah.
Like, they make me feel pretty.
Anyway, so these are the more interesting stories. We're making that more entertaining for us.
Sorry.
It's okay. So yeah, because Manon and Dorne, because first off, you got Manon, you know, and all of her badass self and the 13. Mm-hmm. And of course, you've got Abraxas, who is, you know.
I love him so much.
I know.
And there, he's, oh my God, it gets more adorable with him. He's like, got a thing for Astrid's
mount.
I think they refer to her as her mare.
Yeah, her mare. Because like Astrid has a female werven or wyvern. Mm-hmm. I've never been able to pronounce anything clearly, but yeah. So, and they're all like swinging at each other. Even somebody points out, going like, you know, those two are in love. It's like, what?
Yes. It's just like, I took the notes on it. Oh, and I'm just like,
I'm assuming all of your notes are about Abraxas, and they're just like, oh yeah, and the 13 are here, and Dorian's there being a dumbass. And
yes. And little doodles of like my face with the like the anime smile and the hearts for the eyes. Yes, it's Astrid's blue mare pressed into Abraxas' side, his wing draped over her. I'm like, and so there's this this crochet named Carson, who's Crochet. This Crochin, who says, your wyvern seems like more of a dog than anything. And, you know, of course, it's not an insult because, you know, they the Crochins like keep dogs as pets and love them just as much. But she says his name is Abraxas. He is different. And then she says he and the blue ones are mate. Astrid started. They're what? And anyways, as the Crochin like points to the blue mare huddled beside Abraxas, he is smaller, yet he dotes on her, nuzzles her when no one is looking. Manon exchanged a glance with Astrid. Their mounts incessantly flirted. Yes, but to mate. Interesting. And Manon managed to say. Like, we knew they bred, Astrid stepped in at last, but we haven't witnessed it being for choice.
Jesus.
For love, the Crochin said. And Manon nearly rolled her eyes. These beasts, despite their dark master, are capable of love. And
Linda's
love
heart
also
that day grew three sizes.
Yes. I was like, yes, Abraxas is in love and he's gonna get it in. Yeah, buddy.
All I can imagine is this like a chihuahua trying to hump a Great Dane.
I used to have a wiener dog that that would hump our golden retriever. The Pomeranian that did too. And it was just the cutest thing, because it's like, yeah, buddy, you get it. Like, you just keep up hopes, man.
It is
you can do anything you put your heart to.
It is one of the things when I, like, you know, look at postings for dogs and are just like, oh, this is a this and this mix, and this is a this and this mix. And every so often it's like, oh, well, you know, this is a Schnauzer with a Husky. And I'm like, How? I'm assuming very that the carefully. Husky was the male at this point, because I don't can't imagine the other way around. I'm sure it happens. If dog people don't have to email me but or message me or anything. I'm just saying that to me, it just looks odd in my head where it's like, really?
You see, the female lays down, and like, let me try. I'm gonna draw you a picture, okay?
I don't need a picture. I don't need a picture. Anyways, we're basically going to turn this into the Abraxas Hour. I don't understand why, I'm okay, but still.
Okay.
Anyways, but sorry. We've also got Manon the 13 and Dorian traveling with Manon to find the Kraken. I really just want to like it out. So. Yes, they're trying to find the last Kraken to, call to their aid and join them in the fight against the gathering forces of obviously the Blackbeak Matron or Manon's really awful, horrible, no good grandmother. So, and of course, at the same time, like Dorian's, God, it's going to come up more in the second half, but God, is Dorian getting dumber in this book? He wants to die. Like throughout the entire thing, I'm just like, are you just trying to kill yourself at this point? And also like,
I think he actually kind of is. I think he's in that place where he's like supreme emo now. And
he's gone like, full kale.
You never go full kale.
I think we found our title.
I was just thinking that too. But he's like, I mean, he's the woman he was in love with
was beheaded. Yes,
was beheaded right in front of him, and he through the Vaug collar. He's done a lot of things that he's not proud of.
Yeah.
I mean, and killed his Diddy. I mean, he did.
I mean, and I think the reason why I'm saying this is just because it's not only that he wants to kill himself, but he's going about it in some of the dumbest ways. I'm just like, it's almost like he's sabotaging other people in the process of trying to kill himself. I'm just like, God, look, just God, but go. Because what Dorian's doing is obviously he's using his special summoning sword to summon his ancestor, Gavin,
Damaris.
And trying to figure out where the word marks are and the last word key. And Gavin's all like, well, you know, it's in Morath. Eh? Damaris can guide you. Eh? Eh? And it's like, is Gavin trying to get you killed?
Maybe. I think he's at the point where he just like he has no fucks left to give, and it's kind of like, hey, what do I have to lose?
Let's see here. His people being controlled by his loopy mother and his, as he said, his rotten to the core 10-year-old brother. Think of his people.
Yeah, but.
I mean, yeah, maybe they'll like form a democracy instead and, you know, they'll be able to progress into like a more, you know, advanced political system maybe. But the other possibility
is. This is why you don't want an emo king.
They also play really bad music over the speakers during the midnight calling hour. Come at me, emo. So no,
over
you
and
won't.
Over and over again.
Because you just don't have the mental capacity to.
Because you don't care.
Does anybody even still self-identify as emo? I'm just curious.
I mean, you know, everybody, I want you to at Jane.
It's actually a serious question because I remember when that trend came out. And it was almost like the glittery goths, and the goths hated them too. That's seriously what I remember of them. And it's like, I don't know if they still exist or if it's just a South Park
glittery
put it.
Goths?
Oh no, a Hot Topic's moved in. Basically, that's where it went.
Aww. I was a goth.
And at this point, Hot Topic would be very surprising to you if you walked into it now versus when you were a goth.
Yeah, I actually have. And I've like walked it to one somewhat recently. And like, I remember back in my day, for the quality goth clothes, you had to like go to the back, like straight to the back for the sale stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And you could just cobble together an outfit. Like, I'd go to there and Forever 21? You'd be surprised by like the goth stuff you could find there and like on sale. And even at what was it? Like, I think I found some good quality stuff at Claire's too.
Honestly, I'm thinking is like Forever 21 was around when you were in your teens.
In my late teens, yes.
Really? It's that old. Okay, sorry. I actually thought it was a lot newer. I am terrible at shopping for stuff, so I have no idea. It's like I just go into a store, I look in the window, I'm like, oh, that looks cute. I go in there, cool, does it fit? Okay, cool, try it.
I actually, that used to be back in the day when I could fit in Forever 21 clothes. now, not so goddamn much. I think I tried later in my 20s and I was just like, wow, meant for big girls.
I think I remember having a wide range of nerd shirts. So, yeah. Anyways.
Oh, yeah. It looks like it opened on April 21st, 1984. So.
Oh, Jesus. It's as old as me. God damn. It is not 21 anymore. It's turning 38 this year.
Oh, that's so old.
It's not 21 anymore. That's all I'm saying, okay?
Oh, boy.
And after it hit 30, it should have, like, changed its name to, like, Suddenly 30 or something. Anyways, we were getting so off subject.
When it gets to my age, it should be called Forever Midlife Crisis.
You'll recapture your youth 40.
Yay!
Anyways, back to what we were actually talking about.
So.
So, yes, Dorian's being a dumbass right now and trying to get himself killed.
I feel like not only is he being, like, reckless, but also I had in my notes that he's like, I put, dude, Dorian is freaking powerful AF right now. And I think the fact is, like, at that point, he was getting too powerful.
Yeah.
And I was thinking they got to kill him off or something.
I was thinking the same thing because, I mean, like, as we talked about in the last half, like, Aelin has basically expended her power saving a bunch of people by, like, basically blasting her fire at the raging river that was coming down and everything. But Dorian's just like, oh, what can I do here? Oh, I can learn how to do X. I can do how to do Y. I can, like, it's like, okay, the ice power is kind of cool, but now it's like, what is honestly your limit? It kind of got a little, it was, I don't know if it was like written for a convenient plot sake, but yeah, it was sort of like, okay, at some point in all storytelling, there needs to be rules. And it never felt like there were rules set down for what Dorian can do.
That's exactly it. And I felt like he was getting to that point where something had to happen. Either he needed to die or something had to happen with his powers. Because there's one point where, he says, like, he's learning. They caught a...
Stygian spider.
Yeah, Stygian spider. Stygian Spidey.
After it attacked Manon disguised as a bear. I mean, let's kind of get back to this because Stygian Spider has its own form of transformation. And this is the Stygian Spider that gave the spider silk to Falcon, the other shapeshifter years earlier. And she stole his life and also then learned how to shapeshift. So you got a really powerful spider who knows how to shapeshift now. But yes.
Yeah, which is kind of terrifying. And now they've they forced the Stygian spider to take on a form of like a woman.
Mm-hmm. So it's just not so horrifying to look at.
Yeah. And she's a naked woman right now and in the snow. And I was thinking like, can you maybe give her like a blanket or something?
Shh, she's a spider. Don't trust it.
But Dorian basically forces her to teach him how to start shapeshifting.
Yeah, which is something she learned just by, you know, consuming the life of Falcon. So it's like, okay.
Right, yeah.
And Dorian figures it out. That's what's, it's like,
yes.
Okay.
It takes him a little while and he kind of like.
He tries to like change his eye color, I think, at first. Or something like simple where he tries to change something minor on himself. Like, you know, I don't know. Give himself, you know, like I think it's changed his eye color, but you know, like give himself a different color hair, or you know, just this thing, just simple things.
That's what I had my notes for. Okay, I was listeners. Before we started recording, I told Jane I had to get my tablet because I had to figure out what one of my notes meant.
Oh, is this the one you were, like, cackling at? And yes. Like, I guess I'll find out soon.
Okay, so the quote... I had a quote, and then I had a note about it. I had to look up the context. So the context is that he is trying to trying to shapeshift. It says, Dorian put a hand on his stomach. Despite the layers of clothes and cloak, only toned muscle greeted him. And my notice, and his huge bone.
His huge what? Say that clearly.
His huge bone. I think I was really tired. And I was just assuming that it's a guy, right? He's a pretty young guy, and he figures out he could shapeshift. What's he gonna do? He's like, I wonder if I can make my dick bigger. That's where my mind goes to, apparently. Like, he does at one point, when he finally gets the hang of shapeshifting, he takes on the shape of a croaking witch, you know, obviously female.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you see, honestly, that's what I think most guys would do if they were learning how to shapeshift. They'd give themselves some tits to play with every so often. Maybe this is me.
Well, that's what I thought. I don't know. I decided a long time ago, my friends and I were discussing, I don't even know how it came up, but what would you do if you woke up? Oh, I think it was supposed to be one of those things where it was like, it was supposed to elicit like a deep conversation. And it was a prompt. Like, what would you do if you woke up the other gender or as the other gender? And I was like, okay, first of all, I would go to I would play with my tackle like all day long. And then I would go over to my best friend's house at like totally naked and just like shaking at the door, like, check it out. And then like, oh, I'm sorry. Is your daughter home?
Like, all I'm sitting here thinking is, I'm just like, and then the cops are called and.
Yeah. And oh, but yeah. I mean, come on, man. Like, and so, yeah, he does change into a woman, witch. And I believe he is like, hey, boobies.
We probably skipped a little bit ahead. By the way, Man in 13 and Dorian do find the Croken.
Oh, yeah.
We've talked about the thing that happens. We've talked about Dorian changing his shape. We haven't mentioned the fact that, yes, by the way, they found the Croken people. So, like, are we skipping ahead too much?
yeah, that was the thing. Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, my main issue is that Dorian's just being really just, oh God. I mean, like I said, it's more apparent, more just out there on how just reckless he's being in the second half. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have notes on that I don't want to discuss because, yeah, I'll save them, but my God. Anyways, but then you've also got Manon, who's trying to rally the Croken camp, and it's led by a woman named Glenys Croken, who is Manon's great-grandmother, because Manon.
And luckily, we don't have to look up how to pronounce her name.
I'm assuming it's Glenys. If it's pronounced any other way than the way it is spelled, then I'm sorry.
Yeah, fuck it. F you. Nope. It's Glenys. That's it. I don't care. Like I don't want another like a Glenys to come to us. Glenys. It rhymes with anus.
No, it rhymes with penis. Glenys. Glenys crotch. I hate myself right now.
Now you finally know Jane's son's name, Glenys Crotchin. Attorney at law.
Baron. Oh, okay. We don't talk too much, Glenys. Or enough.
Sorry.
Well, I was going to say, you know, because Manon and the 13 who've been, you know, killing a lot of the Croken witches are not treated well by them, or at least not treated with like, oh, hey, you're outcast. Now you can come join us. It's more like, yeah, fuck you, asshole. We don't trust you. To be fair, I understand why they would feel this way.
Yeah, she's like a guy that shows up to an LGBTQ lesbian club meeting and says, really, I'm a lesbian on the inside. Like, I am one of you. They're like, the fuck?
Now go, please.
They're like, oh yeah, you're one of those people that keep killing our kind. Yeah, you're totally one of us. Get the fuck out of here. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, and
you're not a Crotchin.
And I mean, she doesn't exactly help because, you know, later on, you know, they're attacked and it's like, oh, Manon kind of helped orchestrate that by kind of raising a little flag going like, hey, look, these people are going to attack you. And look, we're fighting by your side and everything. You should totally trust us.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, fuck off.
Yeah.
They don't discover that.
Luckily for her. Yeah, she's like, we are one of you.
Yeah, look, we'll fight by your side and everything. We'll just, you know, lead these people to you so that... Yeah, you know, we'll just be very not cautious like we usually are. And
like, hey, why are they coming to us? Why do they know where we are? That's weird.
Nope, they never asked that.
I don't know.
All of this is happening. Dorian's talking with the, well, between all this happening, Dorian's talking with the spider going like, okay, teach me how to transform. And they also, I mean, they do learn something interesting that the Stygian spiders are Volg, so... And they're part of Maeve's little handmaidens.
Yes.
So they learned that.
And in fact, like, if anything, I mean, we kind of learned that they're kind of almost the only thing she cares about.
Mm-hmm.
Maeve, like, she deeply cares for these spiders, and if nothing else. But we will be getting into that later.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's some Maeve stuff happening later on. But, yeah, and Dorian does obviously learn how to change his appearance. And he ends up, when he tries to summon Gavin again through the sword, he instead receives Caltaine Anybody remember Carol Tane?
Like, she's there too.
She's dead. Well, he receives confirmation that she's quite dead by her coming up as a ghost. And she also confirms that the weird key is in Morath. And she has actually a really cool line because she also had the collar on. And Dorian knows this after realizing. And he also feels bad because he never liked her because she was very, you know, she was that kind of courtier, you know, just very like, if we remember, she was just very like, oh, like, I'm just going to be treated like a princess and I just got to get Dorian to like me and then I'll be queen.
She may be addicted to something for her headaches.
Yeah. Might be something like opium, might be something else, but yes. But instead, you know, she's taken
milk
away.
Milk of the poppy.
And but sorry, she says something interesting because, you know, he's, you know, because she had the collar on and he actually asks her, you know, how did you do it? How did you break free of its control? And she has the best line. She says, because I raged against it because I did not feel that I deserved the collar. And I'm like, damn, that just brought her my respect for her up a lot more. Like between like cutting her arm open to like free the key and the in the last book she appeared in to everything else. I'm like, God damn, girl. Okay.
Yeah, respect, man. She went from like you were saying, vapid pretty princess to like Dorian's mine. He's my man. And, you know, like, fuck you, Aelin or Selena. But she went from that to badass bitch who's like, no, you're not going to have a fucking collar around me.
I know. That was like a really like strong moment for me in the book. That was like, that was a really well written moment. And around that same time, Manning catches Dorian shapeshifting. And realizes what he's going to do because he's practicing shapeshifting into tiny things like birds and bugs.
I like that you say that she caught him.
Like, she did.
Like, is your dick bigger?
No, let's no? be fair. She what? Probably would have caught him in the middle of him playing with a set of tits that he's attached to himself.
That's true. Were those been there before? No, what? Huh? No, what? I wasn't doing nothing.
They're lopsided. You tried to take away them, but one of them still stuck.
Why did you take on the form of Maeve? No reason. What? Shut up.
I mean, this really does get, because I wish that there was a better explanation for like why he has all these different abilities. Like, is it the Vogue? Yeah. And if it is, then like, I, you know, like it's sort of like their powers are not well established either. Like, well, you kind of get an idea of what the Vogue can do. And
I think it's because he, okay. Yeah, no, I know why it is. Because, his ditty was infested with a Vogue.
Well, that's what I assumed it was, but it's like, then it's like, okay, well, can the Vogue do this? Or is this, because that's the thing, the powers for the Vogue haven't been established. So if they had been established there, then we'd understand better of like how Dorian's able to tap into these powers.
Well, we've also established that Dorian, thankfully, Aelin didn't have doings with Dorian because we find out that they're related.
Well, distantly related, okay?
Distantly related, but that I mean, he's, like, distant enough to have powers himself.
Well, true.
Where she has, like, fire powers, and he has his own powers, and mix that with Velgdeddy. I think I think he starts, like, absorbing other powers, too.
Yeah, I feel like it just wasn't well established, like how, like, I mean, I understand that, you know, him and Aelin are related. I understand that he has some of those built into him, but, you know, it's like comparison to Aelin. At some point, I was like, he's more powerful than Aelin, and it feels kind of cheating at times.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. Like, I mean, it's, what is the term? Deus ex machina? Mm-hmm. Like, but, like, and they don't establish it well. And, like I said, he's too fucking powerful. And he gets to this point where it's like, no, you can't sustain the drama and him having this power. because it gets into that like Superman argument of, but like Superman without kryptonite, like, you know, he's just too powerful. There's no drama there. Like he could just come in and just like, I don't know. Like, okay, yeah. There's this quote I have. where's this? They're fighting against eventually they're with the Krokans, fighting against the Black Beaks that come find them? Or?
Yeah, the other Iron Teeth. Someone in the Iron Teeth clans find them.
And so he says he's fighting, like, they have another Wyvern with them. And it says he made it an easy death, snapping the beast's neck with a burst of his power that left him panting. He whipped his magic toward the second attacking Wyvern, offering it the same quick end, but it didn't see the third and fourth that now crashed into the camp, wrecking tents and snapping their jaws at anything in their path. Blah, blah, blah. The body he turned into solid flame, so hot it had melted through the Wyvern's jaws, its throat, and he passed through the beast's mouth as if it were nothing but a cobweb. And I'm like, dude, this is like, when you get to the point of just like snapping your fingers and killing Wyverns, it's like, it's too much.
Yeah. As you said, it's the total Superman argument and Superman without kryptonite. Cause yeah. What's the challenge there? Just send him out alone into the battle system. He can just go like blood sport. Yeah,
exactly. Blood sport.
I even found like a list of like all of his magical abilities, and I one of them, by the way, one of them is called Magic Hands.
Like jazz hands.
Yeah, Dorian freezes Selena with his magical hands. Yeah, they mentioned like lie detection, fire, wind, ice, shield.
Oh yeah, it's like, yeah, because of Damaris, he now has that fucking lie detection now.
Yep, and then you've got like the shape shifting as well. It's just like, yeah,
it's just too much.
Yeah,
it gets to that point where it's like, okay, they've got to kill him or take his power away somehow. And it's just like, otherwise there's no story there, because then they could just send him in and be like, oh, hey, can you,
he's Dr. Manhattan, basically, you know, it's like how to end a war quickly.
Yeah, there's no, like you were saying, there's no challenge there, but, we will be talking about that in a later episode too.
Oh yes. But yeah, so that was the thing that also made Dorian both annoying and then also kind of boring, at least with Manon. It was interesting because, you know, they're working with their brute strength and their skills and everything. And like I said, this is why I feel like the Dorian thing was also a plot device, was, you know, when Manon catches him like doing his shape-shifting abilities, and she realizes what he's going to do, she says like, okay, I know what you're trying to do. You're going to try to sneak into Morath and steal this like Wyrki. Why don't you get into the Faerûn Gap where, you know, the Iron Teeth and everybody else are supposed to be like held up, and you go tell us shit, like come back. Well, yeah, it's, you know, do a scouting mission as a bird, mm-hmm. or whatever it was he was going to choose. In this case, it was a bird, you know, and come back and report. Yeah. And it is successful. And he goes in there and he comes back. He discovers that like all the Iron Teeth horde is gone except for Petra Blue Blood and about 300. So like the other like horde of them are basically gone. So, and Petra's the one that Manon had saved when Iskra had pushed her into the Wyrven pit. So Petra still kind of owes her a debt for, you know, saving her life. Oh, no, not this one. When she was falling from the sky on her mount.
Yeah, because not that was Petra, but what's her name? Or was it Petra? The Oh, the fucking yellow legs.
Petra was the one that Iskra pushed.
Iskra.
Yeah, Iskra was the one who's basically is the yellow. She's the yellow legs heir. She's the daughter of the yellow legs heir.
They were fighting for to see who would be the wing leader, and she had her mount attack Petra's.
Yeah, and that was like one of the sadder moments because I think we remember this was Petra's mount was plummeting to the ground. It was going to be killed, and basically let Manon take Petra, basically sacrificed herself, knowing like, look, you're not going to save me. Please take my rider. It was like that beautiful moment of like, yes, they do love, as one of the Krokans pointed out to Manon and Astrin, was like, yeah, no, like clearly, like, and Petra was obviously devastated because she loved her mount too. So yes, Petra owes Manon, you know, a life debt, as they call it.
That was so sad, but Manon and Abraxas like went after them to save them, and but you're right, like the her ride with her.
Wyvern.
Her wyvern, was just like, just take her.
No, because he was already going. Yeah, that was like one of those sad moments. I mean, there's going to be a couple other sad moments we're not going to talk about yet. So Manon decides to go and meet with Petra, saying, like, hey, look, you owe me a life debt. Don't kill me. Let's just talk. And she goes there, man, basically says, look, my grandma's going to try to take over and kill you all for anybody who tries to fight me. So you might want to, like, leave and come join us. That's basically the gist of what she presents. She's like, look, here's the truth. My grandmother's a bitch. And she is not a good grandmother, as you know this. And she's going to kill you. So have you considered switching sides?
And when they do meet the Krokans, like they do, I'm sorry, I should let you finish because Petra and like everyone there are all kind of like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah. Like the blue bloods.
Yeah. Petra blue blood. Well, cause then they return. Cause you know, Mans is like, look, hear me out. And then they just leave, which is, you know, if she asks for help, then she just leaves. So it's, you know, that sort of reaction. And, you know, back at the Krokan, you know, camp, the Iron Teeth matrons attack. So the Yellow Legs matron, Petra's mother, or Petra's...
Before we go into that, we should say, like, that Glennis talks to her about who she is, who Manon really is. And she says... like you were saying, like she's her great grandmother. She says, I was your father's grandmother. She said, I myself bore your grandfather who made it a Krokan queen before she died giving birth to your father. And so basically she finds out that her grandfather made it a Krokan queen. So her grandma was Krokan. And her dad was Krokan, but her mother was Blackbeak.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why her grandma, who, as we have established, is not the hard candies in her purse, knitting her a sweater type of grandma.
She's going to stab her with those knitting needles.
Yes. Yes, very much so.
Yeah.
And why she was basically trying to get him to or her to kill these Krokans, and why she's fucking with her like that. And they said they talk about how one thing that they've inherited from the Fae was their difficulty conceiving and the deadly nature of childbirth. And it says a way for the three-faced goddess to keep the balance, to avoid flooding the lands with too many immortal children who would devour her resources. The Krokans always had always given birth to more males than the Iron Teeth, and had adopted the fae habit of selecting mates, if not a true mating bond, then in spirit. She'd always thought it outlandish and strange, unnecessary. And so finally it says, all who met Tristan loved him. Tristan, that had been his name. Had her grandmother even known it before she'd killed him? A young witch was chosen for him especially, but he did not love her, not with your mother as his true mate, the song of his soul. Tristan made it work nonetheless. Rhiannon was the result of that. So, it's kind of a bit to take in, but grandma killed Tristan, her ditty.
Man's ditty.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And also ditty. Man and then kill her sister, her sissy. Sorry. Yeah. I don't know where to go with this.
Yeah. And then
Manon's mom died, you know, her mammy. Or, no, not that, right?
No. No, okay. We're not doing that.
Yeah, we'll cut that out. Her mommy. Manon's mother died, her mommy. Her mini, I don't know.
Mimmy. I don't know. We'll work on it.
Yeah. Look, there needs to be a ditty.
Her mimmy, her mini. Mini.
Her sissy and her biddy. I don't know. We're workshopping this.
So we find out that the girl who Manon's back before Manon had left Blackbeak Keep. sorry, it makes me think of the Peculiar Purple Pie Man from Porcupine Peak. From Strawberry Shortcake. Sorry.
I'm lost.
Well, I just love that she's from Blackbeak Keep. But anyway, before she had left with the 13, her grandmother made her kill a kraken, and it had to be her. She made her kill this particular girl, and Manon didn't know why, but she felt sad about it, and she didn't like something. I think that's when Manon starts changing.
Yeah, well, and she later on finds out that was her sister, because, like, her grandmother tells her just before she, you know, fully betrays her. She's like, oh, yeah, by the way, that was your sister. She's like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, even less, like, what? More like a, I'm sorry, sister?
Yes. And Glennis tells her that that's why she had her kill her sister, because they sent, like, her dad wouldn't give up on her and kept trying to get her back. And so they killed her dad. Her grandmother killed her dad. And she killed every person that was sent to get Manon. And that was her sister, because she was trying to save her.
Yeah, she's trying to, because, like, you know, there was that, and they even say that, like, Rhiannon had the hope of, like, uniting the clans again to bring about this peace so that they can all return to the wastes and everything, and yeah.
Yeah, and here's fucking Manon being like, hey, I'm, like, the heir, I'm, like, your queen and stuff, so, how about you fucking follow me?
She's telling to the Krokans, and Krokans are just like, No, you killed like one of like, yeah. You killed like my best friend, my blood sister, my whatever, you know,
my Amway representative. So, like,
well, this is my other great granddaughter and a good grandmother. Let's put Glennis, good grandmother.
Yes,
Manny's she probably grandmother, has hard candies. Bad grandmother.
She probably hides razors and apples.
I'm thinking Glenn is the one who like leaves like little like Hershey's kisses and stuff next to your table so you can wake up and have something sweet. She's like, just thinking of you, dearie.
Oh, I think of her like Ron Weasley's mom and like
Molly Weasley.
Yes, and not like knitting up some sweaters with their initials in them. Yeah. A good grandma.
Anyways, yeah. So getting back to the attack, that the three matrons arrive to attack the camp, and you know, Manon goes on a singular killing spree. Well, kills one of them. She takes on the Yellow Legs matron and slaughters her. I mean, I don't know. We could not describe the battle. It was epic. She's decapitated. She dead.
Oh, yeah.
She quite dead. Although I do kind of like, because like you got the three matrons, and each of them are supposed to represent, you know, the the maiden, the crone, and the mother. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily in that order. And the crone is the Yellow Legs one, so I'm trying to imagine like a hunchbacked over crone like whipping up like some badass ninja moves, because she's supposed to be a really good fighter. But even she describes her as a crone with like a hunch and everything. Like she's supposed to take on that appearance, whereas like
it's like when you see Yoda fight for the first time. It's like, God damn.
Rip out your throat, I will.
But yeah, she myrtleizes the fuck out of her and takes the crown off of her head.
Well, and at the same time, like Petra's mother who's there runs, the blue butt blood matron. She hightails it the fuck out of there. And
she's like, oh, I forgot I left a cat in the oven. Gotta go.
I just remembered I have safer places to be. Bye. And Man's grandmother also flees. And that's when Glennis actually picks up the crown and names Man and Queen of the Witches. Mm-hmm. Huzzah! 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 Huzzah!
I had in my notes in there. She's probably better than Peter. So was it, or Simon? I mean. Like King of the Witches.
Yeah.
Little shout out to an old episode.
Oh, God.
Yeah, this is What Say You, Queen of Witches? And then I say better than Simon. Simon.
And of course, there's like one other thing which leads into the next half of the story, which we'll talk about next week, which is Man and Dorian have made up. They have some really sexy time, lovey love making.
Oh yeah, right? Buddy.
And then she wakes up and she sees Dorian has left with the two word keys. And that's where we're gonna leave that.
I have to say this line because it is metal as fuck and I love it. So eventually, like, you know, they're like, she finally has their respect, because I mean, this fight was like it was pretty goddamn badass. And she actually at like one point she gets her sword and draws a line, and she doesn't cross it. And she, like, without crossing that line, she kicks all the ass. and it's a huge struggle for her, but she finally does behead the Yellow Legs queen. And then here comes the metal line. They say, light the flame of war, Queen of Witches, and rally your host. I fucking love it. It's like, yeah, this is, they all have a flame of war. And once that flame is lit, it's a signal to all other Kraken, what are you, like, covens, I guess, that, like, it's It's a sign saying, like, it's time to rally. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Time to get together because there's going to be a war, baby.
Yeah.
And they are having the sexy sex.
not as tree shattering as Aelin and Rowan get.
Oh yeah, there's no trees being destroyed.
Yes.
But they are getting it on.
Yep. And then Dorian leaves her because, like, Manon is actually at that night before they, you know, before they have sex, she's saying, like, basically she's trying to say, like, please don't go, I don't want you to die, in her, you know, badass witch self. So she's just like, don't go, like, you're gonna die, you're gonna get caught, something bad's gonna happen. Nope. And Dorian's just like, Dorian basically pulls the Team America thing where he's like, I promise I won't die. I promise you won't die. I'll make love to you right now.
I promise. Oh my God. It's been so long since I've seen that.
This came to me. But yes, then again, Dorian leaves her, and with the two weird keys, it's like, okay, well then.
It does say that their couplings were brief, savage, teeth and nails, and snarling, and not just from Manon. Did he, like, take on the form of, like, a Pomeranian, do you think?
Pomeranian? Yes, the threatening Pomeranian. Linda hasn't seen a big dog in a long time. That was the biggest she could think of.
I've been looking at a lot of rescue dogs, okay?
Man just looks down at this sad little, like, yippy dog. It's like, the fuck, man?
The fuck?
It starts presenting Dorian? Itself for her.
God damn it, Dorian. I told you, centaur are human. Like, nothing in between.
Only once in a while, merman.
Merman. Sorry.
Anyways,
oh, boy.
So we should probably move over to Aiden and Lysandra, because this is where we're going to leave. This is where the half of Dorian and Manon end. And Aiden.
Hi, Manon.
Aiden, God damn, he is proving himself the warrior.
Yeah, but, like, oh God. I mean, he kind of starts off, like, he's pissed, and I think rightfully so.
Well, he was basically supposed to be a man whore for, or baby daddy man whore for, like, Lysandra, and they never really, you know, asked him if that's what he'd like to do. He's like,
well,
like,
and once again, they're, like, it's just, like, Aelin plant making these big plans for, like, battle plans or whatever without him, and, like, she, like, he was,
I that feel involve like him, that's the thing that involve him.
Yes. And, like, throughout the whole thing, she's been super secretive, and he's only, like, he grew up with her, like, they were best friends, and
they thought they were gonna get married because that was just, you know, so, like, that was kind of, like, the theory. Like, that was, like, Adian's first idea was, like, oh, I'm going to find my queen, and we're going to, like, you know, create children and blah, 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 and even though we're cousins. But that's just kind of, like, was the expectation of our future.
Don't worry about it.
Oh, who's this tall warrior? What? Oh, is that oh, shit.
The fuck is this guy?
Oh,
but
damn.
But, yeah, like, who's this sexy motherfucker? But, like, he wanted that, even if they didn't marry, he felt like, well, he was promised to be the first to take the blood oath, and she took that away from him because she gave that to Rowan.
Yeah.
And so he's already, I don't think he ever really gets past that. I think he's still, like,
salty,
fuck, man. Yeah, exactly. He's pretty salty. And now she keeps coming up with these plans along the way and not letting him in on it at all. And you see him get progressively more and more pissed off. Like, hi, I'm your fucking general. Can you please let me in on this shit?
Usually the general knows.
Oh, yeah. Next time. Exactly. And she's like, yeah, don't worry about it. I'll tell you next time.
Well, she tells Lysandra, she's like, yeah, could you make the ultimate sacrifice and bear children that might actually look like me?
Yes. So now she's
Lysandra's like, okay, fine.
Yeah, he finds out that she's planned this whole thing with Lysandra so that Lysandra will basically spend the rest of her life looking like Aelin. So nobody loses hope because she's afraid that people will, by knowing that she's dead, which she thinks she's totally going to die, that people will lose hope because they'll lose that symbol of this powerful woman that's a powerful queen that's, got to fight for them. And so she wants Lysandra to basically live the rest of her life as Aelin and pretend to be married to Rowan while having to have sex with Adian.
So they pretend she'll actually look like as close as they can to the ash of their eyes is what they always say, which I always sit there and say, just because you think it's going to work out in one particular, as somebody who has a child who everybody says looks like their father. Sometimes it doesn't work out the way you want it to.
Besides that, she has sex on the side with Adian. And then they have children who she's supposed to publicly say Rowan's the daddy.
Yes.
And she can't publicly be with Adian. Because he's just, as he put it, he's just a stud for breed.
Broodmare.
Yes. Oh, here it is. Using Adian to sire a fake royal bloodline, little more than a stud to breed.
Yeah, basically.
And so I fucking get it. He has every fucking reason to be pissed. But and especially because, he's his cousin who he loves very much and was ready to follow into battle. She was planning on being captured and tortured and killed. And Lysandra knew about it and didn't tell him. So he's like, the fuck, Lysandra?
Yeah, I was starting to fall for you, and I may could have been a stud, but instead you do this, which, again, all of this is I completely understand, but here's the thing, that he's still, and it's clearly for his home. It's not even for Aelin anymore. He's trying to save Tarrison because, it's clearly, Erwin's armies are moving in, and more people are becoming Vog infested, and so every single one of their chapters is basically massive battles. A lot of them are major losses. And Lysandra is, of course, taking the form of Aelin, just sans firepower, which even Aiden is hearing going at some point people are going to wonder why, the queen is not setting people on fire with her massive cool fire powers that you don't have. Because instead, how Lysandra's doing it is she's kind of just being going Aelin had to go send a message somewhere instead of fight with you guys. But hey, look at this. It's a ghost leopard.
Yeah. And I mean, it progresses, and he's not being cool with her, and it's I get it. And then finally, there's this scene where he finally has it out with her because he hasn't really been talking to her And to Lysandra, Adian hasn't been talking to Lysandra, and Lysandra is kind of like, hey.
Sorry. But,
yeah, sorry.
Whoopsie-doodle.
And he's just playing the silence game. And he says, probably tells her, like, you agreed to let Aelin go to her death and leave us here to be slashed to bloody ribbons. You two told no one of this plan, told none of us who might have explained the realities of this war, and that we would need a goddamned firebringer and not an untrained, useless shapeshifter against Morath. And she's like, oh, ow, thanks. Like, useless shapeshifter. Cool. And so he's like, he, you know, like I said, I could understand his anger, but then he gets really mean.
Oh, yeah.
And
he basically calls her a whore. I mean, he doesn't he does call her a whore.
Yeah, calls her a whore. And but then, like, there is, and he basically kind of just throws her out in the cold. And
let's be fair, they have another one of those Elid/Loken type fights where it's almost like, I don't care if you die, and it's like, okay, except in Lysandra actually takes it hard, whereas Loken had been like, okay, fine, she doesn't care if I die, I'm just gonna, Lysandra's like, okay, I can, I've mm-hmm. survived worse, so let's just go and do this. So but Lysandra's a badass. She's always has been.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And he, it's kind of sad because he finally says what's really at the heart of the matter. He says, like, you ruined everything. And he says his words were colder than the wind outside, you and her. So basically he's like saying, look, I loved you. We could have had something and you ruined everything. And we're never going to have that again. This is, he didn't care if he was so tired he couldn't muster shame at his pinning on her the blame for the sure defeat they'd face in a matter of days before Perrant's walls. He wished she'd smacked him, had screamed at him, but she had let him rage and had walked out into the snow barefoot. He'd promised to save Terrasen, to hold the lines, had done so for years, and yet this test against Morath, when it had counted, he had failed. And, like, they're both facing what they think is going to be their deaths, basically. Like, there's no way that they're going to win this war, that they're both going to die. And yeah,
they're being beaten back on a regular basis. Like, I mean, there's some times where they think that they may have had some luck, like when they captured, like, some of the Volg messengers. But even then, it's not a good thing. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. It's just,
No.
Yeah, because we also got Adian's trying to lead an army, and then you've got Lord Darrow saying, like, hey, get your ass back here. And he's like, no, I've got this army about to, like, kill us, and yeah, like, they're gonna kill everybody else. I'm gonna try to fight them to save other people. And yeah, one of the Volg soldiers, like, gets into the tent and discovers, like, Sandra's not Aelin, and sends a message through the bond. And that's, yeah. So, and Aiden kills him, but yeah, that's when they get into a huge fight. And at the same time, let's talk about a returning face. Nox Owen.
A returning face I had to look up because I was like, wait,
is he important?
Like, who Nox?
Okay, so way, way back in the original book, Throne of Glass.
As you may recall, when Aelin was Selena.
And we also barely covered because it didn't really feature a lot of witches. Nox was one of the potential king's champions. And during, what was it? I can't remember if it was the second or third tournament. He basically realized that shit was getting weird and left. But he did make good friends with Selena.
Shit was getting weird. And he left.
And he did. I mean, he just left. I mean,
wasn't he the... the one who knew a lot about poisons and helped her not get poisoned in the competition. I think, like, she saved him. I want to say that she saved him in the challenge where they had to scale the walls of the
Somebody like tries to knock him off or something, and I can't remember.
And she saved him, so he saved her by like telling her which one not to drink, which one was poison or something.
Yeah, it's something like that. I can't remember because it was like so long ago. But then yes, like, and Selena's just basically like, yeah, dude, you should really get out of there because like a lot of random people are getting killed in this castle. And he's like, later.
Later, skater. Yeah.
And so now he's delivering messages.
Yeah. He's like, he is, I think, the very definition of a cameo walk-on. Like, he's like, hey, I'm Nox Owen. Woo, remember me? Woogle woogle. I think that was my saying. Like, anyway, see ya, bye.
It's sort of like when there's like little Easter eggs in some of the comic book movies where unless you're a comic book reader, it really just kind of go like, you don't understand like why it's such a big deal. And like everybody in the comic books is like, so that's what it made me think of.
Yeah. Okay. I looked it up. Selena showed him how to throw knives, and
This is good. This is good podcasting right here.
He defends her against Kane. So yeah. Okay. There you go.
They like each other. They're friendsies, even though it's barely mean and he left. So, yeah. But he comes back. It was like, oh, okay. Well, I guess some characters are returning. And so is Evangeline. They get to the castle where Evangeline is. And Lysandra has like a brief meetup with them. But then that's when they go off to, you know, battle the Volg soldiers who are coming up, and that's when she's discovered, so it's not looking good. And and unfortunately, yes, they're losing and people are starting to run away, and that's when like Lysandra, instead of like taking her like, you know, ghost wolf form or any of the other things that she can turn into, she turns into Aelin and enters the battlefield, and she's not trained with swords. And Aiden notices this and is just like, oh, fuck. But it does get the army back until she's injured by an Ilken. And that's when the witch towers also appear.
Oh, God. Yeah.
So do you want to explain the witch towers?
Oh, no, you can go ahead.
I like how you leave it to his kick. So for all of you who kind of remember, so one of the things about the witches in Throne of Glass series is that they don't necessarily have magic the same way that Aelin has or the Fae have. They're just really skilled fighters. But they do have one thing called the Yielding, where basically it's a sacrifice. You release a strong power and you end up killing yourself and also killing people around you. And the Witch Towers basically amplify this power.
They have something like it in The Magicians where, like, you have too much concentrated magic and, like, your body can't handle it. And you explode.
And they do. And they bring in one of the witch towers and one of them goes in there, does the Yielding, and destroys 4,000 of Aedian soldiers.
Yeah.
And which they are neat. Running.
And yeah, grandma, the not so nice grandma of Manon, was commissioned by Dorian Steady when he was alive to create, work with the Yellow Legs to create all these mirrors to create this fucking witch tower.
Yeah, and they do
amplify it.
I mean, they later on you found they made more than one, which is just frightening because, yes, Aiden Watch is basically, as you know, a lot of his men are just vaporized. So
big ba da boom.
And Lysandra wakes up 2 days later as they're fleeing, and everybody knows now that she's not ailing because she's, you know, shifted back to her normal self.
Oh, Nox knew before everybody else.
Well, yeah. Well, Nox looked at her and go like, yeah, I know it. I, for the small period of time that I knew Selena, know you know
Selena. Yeah, he like fell into step with her and was like, hey, I know. And she's like, huh? He's like, I know you're not Aelin. And she's like, dude, shut up. But yeah, that's kind of what he was there for.
Yeah, to basically call and be like, yeah, I can tell. And in the time, yes, Aiden returns and gets to Ren and Darrow. And Darrow's all like, you know, you disobeyed me. And, you know, it threatens Lysandra and basically strips Aiden of all of his ranks. And that he has to give back his Sword of Ornith.
That was so sad.
I know. Well, and he does one last thing. Because he's got a couple things he does. You've got Rolf arrives.
Yes,
we got a lot of
the Dread Pirate Rolf.
The Dread Pirate Rolf comes to save them because you know
in
they're
his
getting
sexy pants.
Well, because they're trying to they're trying to find a way across the river because they know that the armies are on their butts and they're like, okay, well, if we go down here, we might be able to outrun them. By getting across this bridge, or we can go down here. But even then, they're just like, look, by not going straight through, which they can't, you know, get across the river with what they have, you know, they're basically going to get caught. And then that's when Rolf appears on his ships, singing, "This is the tale of Captain Jack Rolf."
I thought it was going to be Cabin Fever.
I always do try to get some Muppet reference in, but to me, it's like, we got to do the tale of Captain Jack Rolf because that was a damn good music song.
Well, and meanwhile, they set Ren, I think it's Ren that they set as the general now.
It's somebody named Killian.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
yes,
Killian's basically Killian. Like, and even like Ren points out, like, look, Killian's still going to follow you. So, like, yeah. You know, like, yeah, you lost your sword. He's telling Aiden this, like, yeah, you lost your sword. But to be fair, like, you could probably tell Killian what to do and he'll pretend it's his orders. It's kind of what Ren's trying to. It's like, Aiden, buddy, it's okay. You're still kind of in charge. You just don't have your sword. And it's okay.
It's okay, buddy. But he is, Killian is one of the commanders of the Bane.
Mm-hmm.
Aiden's
troops or his.
Yeah, legion, whatever.
Yeah. And, I mean, because there's like a couple more things that happen. Because, like, this is why I want to end with them. Because one more act of defiance that Aiden does against Darrow is he sends out letters that. Tiresias calls for aid to fight against Morath's forces. And one of the last lines, and it's right after Man and his crown with the Crokin, is that they receive the call for aid and they're off.
And Manon awesome. Gets the most badass crown like ever. It's like a crown of literal stars.
Yes.
And it glows. And then she and Dorian have sex. And
she agrees to go to the aid after Dorian leaves. But yeah, she does get the badass crown. And then they have.
Right.
Oh, she keeps wearing the crown too.
That's what I was thinking of. Like,
I forgot about that.
Like, you wear that fucking crown during, dude. Like, I would.
It shrinks like down to a
queen.
Ring.
Who's the queen?
Not that kind of ring. You're welcome, Linda.
one ring to rule them all.
Maybe would have kept Dorian there. You never know.
I mean. Oh, but one thing, it's a very, very, very small thing. It doesn't really have much to do with the story. But Rin, who is from Terrasen, he mentions like okay, so there he's having them stay in his old home for a while, and he shows this I'm trying to remember like where exactly it is, but anyway, he mentions the magic academy that his oldest sister Rose went to. And it says near the border with Adderlin, the school had been directly in the path of invading troops. And my thing was, Magic Academy? Like, what is this you say? Like, and they just drop it. It's never mentioned again. I want to know more about the Magic Academy.
I think that in the end of Hogwarts. All of this, we got to talk about things that were mentioned, dropped, never spoken of again. We've got a couple characters that are never spoken of again. We'll probably address at the very end. And yeah, it's, I don't know. I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's because one of the things that, and you brought this up earlier when they talk about how, like, you know, the great Mother Earth, when the Krokan are talking about how, you know, they inherited the phase limited procreation. Now I'm thinking, going back, like, how is Rowan imagining they have, like, you know, a basketball team's worth of children? if the idea is that the Fae really are only so fertile.
That's another question, too, because I, as I was just reading it out loud, I was like, wait. Like, hold up now.
Rowan, let's have realistic expectations here.
I don't think they really mentioned that before.
Well, and that's the thing is, and they mention it in one of her other series, Miss Moss's series. It's mentioned actually in A Court of Thorns and Roses.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That children are very rare. And to be fair, I actually appreciated that as an explanation in those books, because I'm like, yeah, no, if you have like a whole bunch of immortals able to breed like rabbits, like, welcome to the death of any planet
that
they're on.
So I do appreciate them explaining that, like, by Mother Gaia, Mother Earth, whatever.
Yeah. Whatever the mother planet's doing, it's like, we got to keep this population in check. You either can have a bajillion children and die in 24 hours, or you can have maybe one baby and live forever.
Who wants to live forever? Okay, so I feel like that's a good place to stop.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We got the second half now to cover, and at least some of the characters are kind of getting together now, or at least in the sense of, like, we don't have like four or five different areas to cover. So that's.
Let's get together. Yeah. We're thinking two more episodes on it.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to cover and we're trying really hard to stay within a certain time frame, but for recording.
Get comfy.
It's sit back, relax, grab a cold one or a hot one and just
hot choco. Exactly. Ocho.
Maybe the only thing that makes this bad is that Dorian's left. It's like, God damn it, you should. Now we have another separation story.
Damn it!
but soon they start to come together, so it's okay.
Yeah, and it's as awesome as it sounds. I guess now's the time to say, please listen, subscribe, rate, and review Bedknobs and Broomflicks, especially on Apple Podcasts. It will get you a shout out. And remember, you can find Bedknobs and Broomflicks on Facebook and on, well, that's a lie at this point. You can find us on Twitter, okay?
Yeah, I'm like, Facebook is almost dead.
Yeah.
I don't know who keeps checking out our page. I get notifications for it. I'm like, yeah, Twitter.
Oh, really? Oops. Oh, Yeah, I'm just really bad at going on Facebook because I have to admit, I'm just kind of like, why? I'm ready to get rid of Facebook, but
I think anyway, the only thing I use Facebook for right now is the Messenger system.
Yeah, me too. It kind of pisses me off because sometimes it feels like a necessary evil because people say like, well, like they post big life events and it's like, God damn it. Like, I would have totally missed out on this if I hadn't just happened to be reading. And I'm sure I've missed out on a lot of shit, but anyway. But yeah. Hit us up on Twitter at Broomflix. In fact, I have something on there about like if you have found any other animals or rabbits especially in the episode of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, but the Dr. Cerberus's House of Horrors, I believe.
Yep, that was the last one we did.
Yeah, because I found a bunch in there. I took some pictures, but if you found any others, I want to know about it.
Linda's hunting rabbits.
Dude, like, I fell into a deep hole. And then, like, I was telling Jane, I was like, I think I found a message in Harvey and Herbert's mirror. And I was like, I got to stop. I've got to stop.
Very, like, very quiet. I'm hunting rabbits.
I didn't sound quite like that. Oh, but yeah. So anyway, yes. So you can also write to us at broomflix@gmail.com. That's BROOMFLICKS. You know, we're good because we got the licks at the end. Also, you can check out our show at bedknobsandbroomflix.com. Or you could just look up cageskiss.com and that will take you to the landing page. And last but not least, if you'd like to help support us and a local bookstore while purchasing a book or movie, please purchase through our affiliate page at bookshop.org/shop/Broomflix. I don't really have a lot going on right now. It's kind of amazing.
It's okay.
I'm still in Forza Crown. Yeah. Second season.
Well, there you go. See, it's okay. You don't have to fill up your plate with everything.
But I do. Like, you could find me solving puzzles and playing the game I called Too Many Ditties. Jane, where can the people find you?
You can find me stealing all your Cadbury cream eggs because it's goddamn Easter.
Oh my God, yes.
Oh, by the way, you know what I saw in the store recently with the Easter candy?
I want to know.
Hot tamale peeps. No.
God damn it.
You're not allowed to like this. I sent it to my sister and I sent it to her. She's like, why? And I'm like, nobody in a boardroom sat there and said, this is a bad idea. No.
Carla, we have to go to the store. Don't ask why.
Carlo, no, Carlo. I know you can't hear me, but no, just hear my thoughts to you, Carlo. It's bad,
dude. I love Cadbury cream eggs, and like Easter just makes me happy because you get the you get those like nerd covered jelly beans, and you get all the like the nerd treats and like the nerd rope. With the licorice with covered
the nerd
in
rope
nerds.
Exists year round. What the first off, what?
Well, okay, but Cadbury cream eggs, buddy.
Yes, no,
I know that they exist
Cadbury
year round,
eggs.
But
well, Cadbury cream eggs are hard to find year round. Okay, they come at Easter, and it's a glorious time. And I fill up as many boxes as I can, and I eat one a day until I run out, and then I sit there patiently and wait for Easter because Easter has the best candy. And you're
have
telling
you tried
me
the mini ones?
Yeah, I don't like the little.
So, oh. The mini ones help me justify having.
Okay, no. See, because I like the process of eating a Cadbury cream egg.
I love the milk chocolate, but for me, it's all about that center.
Well, yeah, the center's great. That's why you can spend your time just enjoying the center. You don't want to watch me eat a Cadbury cream egg.
Yeah, I get a little pornographic, I guess.
Yes.
I think one of my old roommate's quotes was, "Damn, look at that tongue."
Yeah, exactly. See, they get it.
Well, she was another girl, so she gets it. I mean, I was like, yeah, buddy. Cadbury cream eggs get it. I'd like to thank Doug Walters and Red Wire Black Wire for allowing us to use their song Compass.
And next episode, as we stated, we will be covering the second part of the book in Kingdom of Ash. I promise you, it will be another long episode.
Yeah. Sorry about it.
I mean, like, we are seriously trying to keep this a four-parter. You know, we just...
Yeah. As Jane has said, this could have been two books.
It's hard to say, like, it could have been two books. And then there are times where I'm like, oh, but it would feel like cut off in certain areas. But then it's like, no, this clearly could have been way too two books. It's like, huh. Anyways. And don't get us wrong. I like the books. It's just.
Yeah.
I feel like there's could have been a different way of breaking this up a little.
So. Yeah. Anyway, I guess until then. What's that got to do with my knob?
Don't go full coal knob. Okay, old knob. Nobody goes a full kale knob.
What's that got to do with my hot tamale covered knob?
Oh, fuck off. Oh, my God. No, God.
Ow.
It's hot tamale peeps, and no. It's a crime against humanity.
Oh, tamale beep knob.